whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan. Another 5 hour KM to AM. You heard? Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk to me, if you'd like to speak on air. Hopefully you're warm and safe wherever you are. It's not as cold as it was. And I'm not as under the weather as I was. I've shaken the little cold that I got from it being a little cold. I feel good tonight. I was able to get a lift in today. We're going to hit these push-ups during the break. Maybe at home, you can join as well. When we go to break, hit 25 push-ups. Get that heart rate going and enjoy the show. We'll pass the time tonight, January 23rd, Thirsty Thursday in New York City in the year 2025. And we are waiting right now to hear if Pete Alonso is actually going to sign with Toronto, if he's actually going to be a Blue Jay, if he's actually going to go up to Canada, which I don't think anybody had on the roadmap here. I don't think anybody was thinking that he would be joining Vladdy as much as we've heard about Vladdy. So we're keeping an ear to the streets for that. I'm on Twitter checking for that. I just heard Loogie as well talking about that. If that news breaks, Pat Regazzo will join me. We will talk all around Pete Alonso, the Mets, the Blue Jays, the offseason, baseball. Jurickson Profar, as you just heard in the update, signs with the Braves. So the Braves get better in the division. The Dodgers get better in the league. And I think that the Mets have to make some other moves. I don't think that it's just as simple as, hey, this is the number that we have for Pete Alonso. I'm very interested to see what the numbers actually will be. I'm very interested to see if, you know, Toronto gives him more money than the Mets, or if he just leaves for the sake of leaving, burning a bridge. Enough is enough, too much pride, and he wants to be done. 888-808-1019. I'm going to say the number a bunch of times because I'm a solo host, and I want to connect with you, the fans that listen to The Fan, and want to get your point across. Call up with a take. Call up with a thought. Call up with something that maybe we haven't heard yet today. I was listening to Evan and Tiki, and you know, people call with a couple different interesting spins on things. Like I heard a caller suggest that Pete Alonso is going to go to Toronto and become best friends with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and convince him not to sign with the Mets. I don't suspect that that's possible or that's going to happen. But yeah, that was an interesting one. So dial the number and join me. And I think it's a big Mets and Jets fan night. It feels like that at least, because obviously we're welcoming in Aaron Glenn and we're waiting on potentially the departure of a lot of people's favorite Met, a guy that you had plans on being a forever Met. And, you know, this could be a news breaking night, a night in Mets history and New York baseball history that we remember. And with Aaron Glenn, history has been made as well. I'm extremely happy for that guy because I've been following that guy for years now. He popped back on my radar a few years back when the Detroit Lions had Hard Knocks. And 2 years ago, he was on the Pivot podcast. I've been mentioning this all week, and I've heard callers mention it, and I've seen a lot of people online bring it up. And you know, I had a tweet where I just simply wrote, Aaron Glenn is not Rob Saleh, and I posted the clip of him talking about being a restaurant owner, right? I love that about the guy. Frenchies, he said he had 8 restaurants called Frenchies, and he had one right across the street from NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. And I like that he was a businessman. I like that he was a boss. He has a CEO mindset. I like that I've used the parallel a bunch about teams being like restaurants, franchises. You know, we say the metaphor all the time, the fish stinks from the head down. Well, I always point to a bad restaurant if the service is poor, if the food isn't cooked right, I want to speak to the manager. I want to speak to the owner. I want to speak to the guy that is running everything and letting this go on. Because it starts with that person. And I feel like Aaron Glenn is going to come in with not just his experience in the NFL as a player, specifically here with the Jets, knowing what it's like to be a first-round pick for the New York Jets, go 1-15, but also have some success. His experience as a scout, getting it out the mud, starting the hard way, saying, I don't want any favors done. Don't treat me any differently, right? I'm going to start as a scout. I'm going to do quality control. I'm going to be a positions coach. I'm going to be a defensive coordinator. And I'll pause on the defensive coordinator thing because so much of the conversation is same old Jets. Wrong. So much of the conversation this week is, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Stop yourself. This is not the same. I know it's easy to lump it in and say it's the same, but there are so many things that are different here. And this is a time to celebrate, right? This isn't a time to be comparing, but if you want to compare them, don't compare them to Rob Saleh or Todd Bowles or Rex Ryan, other defensive coordinators that have come here with the Jets and not necessarily, you know, I don't want to lump Rex Ryan in there, but, you know, haven't got the success that they were supposed to be hyped up to bring. I was thinking today, and I'm like, what can we compare the hiring of Aaron Glenn to recently, more recently, and not with the Jets? And then it clicked, as this is a Mets and Jets night. As I said, the fans have dual citizenship in Queens and East Rutherford. I'm like, oh, this is similar to Carlos Mendoza, right? You had no idea what Carlos Mendoza was going to be like, what he was going to do. For my money, he should have been manager of the year. And when you go back to November of last year, Carlos Mendoza, you can compare him to Aaron Glenn. Carlos Mendoza was a first-time manager. Was he a former Met? No, he wasn't a former Met, but he was a New Yorker. He had been here in New York with the New York Yankees in this market, a bench coach with the Yankees, where, I mean, the Mets have tried that formula a bunch. If they played for the Yankees, they're with the Yankees, come across town to us, it works. So I look at Carlos Mendoza and compare him to Aaron Glenn, and I go back to the tweet that the Mets put out November 13th, 2023. First tweet that comes up because I follow him on Twitter, Ross in Bergen County says, God damn it. And then there's a bunch of tweets with laughing emojis. There's people underestimating what this guy is going to be. Some people with optimism, please be the one. Some positive, some negative, as what we're getting with Aaron Glenn here. 888-808-1019. You know, you're going to be a little bit skeptical because you're scarred from the past. You have PTSD because you don't even want to believe. It's easier to believe that the Jets are going to be miserable, that they made a mistake again. But when I look at what Carlos Mendoza was able to do his first year on the job, of course there was a learning curve. I mean, look at everything he had to deal with. A terrible start. He had to talk to the media every night and stay positive, stay even keeled. That's what I loved about Carlos Mendoza. This guy's not showing you anything. He's not showing you that they're struggling. Clearly he has the respect of the locker room, and I think Aaron Glenn will have that as well. I think he's going to be even keeled as well. People are going to ask him about the 14 losing streak seasons and the playoff losing streak, not making the playoffs, and it's got nothing to do with him, but I think he's going to handle it the right way. It's funny, I hear all this talk about Pete Carroll, and I made a parallel with Pete Carroll too. I'm like, oh, everybody wants Pete Carroll, the old man that has done it before, has coached before, tried and true. That's Buck Showalter. They could have stayed with Buck Showalter. They could have played it safe. No, they went in a different direction. They weren't afraid to go in a different direction, bring some new blood, some new energy in. And also, you know, I keep hearing the new young coach. Aaron Glenn is not young. I mean, he's also not old. He might be new on the job, but he's 52. He's bringing a ton of experience with him. He's not a 38-year-old Ben Johnson. He's 52 years of age. And I think with this five-year deal, he's focused on winning right away in the 5 years. This isn't a rebuild. They have a ton of talent. I can't wait to see what he does with Sauce Gardner, right? I can't wait to see what he does with a kid from Detroit after being in Detroit, a kid that was drafted in the first round as a corner, same as him. Like, other guys, I don't know, Michael Clemens went to Texas A&M. I can't wait to see what he does with Garrett Wilson. And, you know, sticking with the comparison of Mendoza and Buck Showalter to Pete Carroll, around here, everybody was saying they had to go get Craig Counsell, right? Also had a new GM in David Stearns we weren't sure about, but I think everybody thought highly of him. And put a pen in that. I'll get to the GM hiring with the Jets in a second. But it was Craig Counsell. Talked to Steve Cohen, talked to the Mets, ended up going to the Cubs. Craig Counsell is another guy that was like currently active and trying to make a lateral move. That's like Mike McCarthy. Oh, why not talk to Mike McCarthy? Because they want to start fresh. They want a new face. They don't want to just, oh, let's go with the same guy that the Cowboys just fired, that Green Bay fired, his third stint here. They have their guy. It's a homecoming. Let's celebrate Aaron Glenn. Let's prop him up. Let's compare him to Dan Campbell before we compare him to the Jets coaches that have failed. He played at Texas A&M with Dan Campbell. He's been there through the whole Dan Campbell era. He knows what Dan Campbell did to bring the Detroit Lions from the depths to being a contender now. And I keep also hearing this. Oh, he's not even as good of a defensive coordinator as Rob Saleh was with the Niners. Come on. Look at the roster that Rob Saleh had. Look at the division they played in. And please don't cherry pick this last game against the Commanders. They were not facing Sam Howell and Ron Rivera's Commanders. The Commanders are good. They have a ton of talent. They have a new vibe from head to toe. New owner, GM, head coach, quarterback, logo, name. They're different. Jared Goff turned the ball over 4 times. He had 3 interceptions and 1 fumble. I don't care who's calling the defense. I don't care if it's the Steel Curtain. I don't care if it's the Ravens. I don't care if it's the 85 Bears. Nobody's going to win in the NFL when you have a quarterback turn the ball over that much, get concussed, get knocked out of the game. Also, please remember the 10 different injuries and then even Amik Robertson getting hurt in that game. So what I'm saying is I'm hearing so much about this last game last week, his last game as a defensive coordinator with the Lions. And you can cherry pick that, but there's, you know, a lot of different things. The devil is in the details. 888-808-1019. He's not going to be a defensive coordinator here. He's going to hire a defensive coordinator. He's going to be a CEO, a boss, a leader of men. He's going to check in with the defense. He's going to check in with the offense and the special teams. He's going to check in with the kitchen people. He's going to check in with the people that do the, you know, physical therapy, rehab, the trainers. He's going to check in with the strength and conditioning guys. I cannot wait to see his press conference. I'm not going to say what this guy isn't going to be. I'm not going to lump him in the rest. I'm going to give him the opportunity and the chance to succeed here with the Jets and potentially be the change, like Carlos Mendoza was. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm going to take a break. In about 2 hours, Zach Rosenblatt will join us from The Athletic, specifically to talk more about the Jets, Aaron Glenn. And what I want to leave you with before we break, and as we're also waiting on the Pete Alonso news to break, and Pat Regonzo will join me whenever that goes on. I was just cracking up at the news that came out of the NFL on my way in. So much so that like I'm pulling my car over in the front to tweet and to like put it in my notes. So if you've been listening to my show late at night, and maybe you haven't because you go to sleep and that's fine, I've been on Shad Khan and the Jaguars. I mean, I've been on them the whole way with the Jets because in the last 10 years, they're the worst team in the NFL. The Jets are right next to them. But Shad Khan kind of speaks about the Jets and does things where I think he thinks he's better than the Jets. Like, he opened his mouth about Aaron Rodgers, right? In regards to Trevor Lawrence not having a say. Oh, this isn't an Aaron Rodgers Jets type of situation. No, Trevor Lawrence will not have a say in the head coach in the GM search. But a couple weeks ago, there was a Zoom call where Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, said he wouldn't rule out firing GM Trent Baalke while they both were on the call. While media members were on the call, this hit news. He literally said he wouldn't rule it out while this man is sitting on camera. He said he'll get rid of the GM if a prospective head coach gives Khan a credible reason. And that he did it today. He absolutely like backed up his words today. I was talking last night about Liam Cohen. I said, what's going on there in Jacksonville? As so many people talk about the Jets not being an attractive destination, who would want to take this job? That's another thing that you commend Aaron Glenn for. He wants to be a Jet. He is a Jet. He wanted to come home. But the last couple of nights, I was talking about Liam Cohen, and I'm like, all right. Liam Cohen interviewed with them. He had a second interview scheduled, but he took himself out of the running, went back to Tampa Bay, and they supposedly offered him a contract to be the highest paid coordinator in the NFL. That was Adam Schefter reporting that just yesterday. And then more news came out today, right, that Tampa actually hadn't heard from him. And also, I was talking about how Rob Saleh was interviewing with the Jaguars and Patrick Graham was interviewing with the Jaguars and how obviously they have ties here. Patrick Graham, who's the defensive coordinator with the Giants 2020, 2021. And then you guys know Rob Saleh. I don't have to tell you, you know, when he was here. So I'm like, okay, they have kind of like an ear to the streets with these guys. But like Liam Cohen is more of a highly regarded head coaching option, a head coaching hire. Something was funny about it. So then when I got this news, so now Patrick Graham, who was scheduled to interview today, that's done. Rob Saleh, who was scheduled to interview with the Jaguars Friday, that's done. Liam Cohen actually took the job. He reversed course. And I just think it's crazy that we're spending so much time on the fan talking about how backwards the Jets are by hiring the head coach before the GM. It's a trend in the NFL. We talk about Bill Parcells all the time. Hey, you want me to make the dinner? Well, I got to buy the groceries. We talk about Bill Belichick being the most successful coach all time. What did Bill do? Bill was his own GM. It is a trend in the NFL. And specifically here with Aaron Glenn, you're going to need Aaron Glenn to have a say in the type of players that he brings in to change this thing. I talked about Brad Holmes, the GM from the Lions a couple weeks ago, how he hit on so many Pro Bowlers in his picks. And there's a certain DNA. There's a certain quality. There's a certain standard that they're looking for in players. And that is how they were able to change the Detroit Lions. The same thing can happen here. So don't call me tonight and say, oh, well, same old Jets. They're ass backwards. They haven't hired a GM yet. They hired the head coach. They got a highly coveted guy that everybody in the league was looking at. Literally, everybody in the league was looking at Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn the last 2 years, knowing that those guys were going to leave. They had unfinished business. They came back. They failed. They were out. But when you see Trent Baalke fired today and Shad Khan said that he would if a candidate gave him a good enough reason, Liam Cohen gave him a good enough reason and he did that. 888-808-1019. So what I'm saying is these head coaches have to have a say in the guys that are drafting and trading and picking the personnel. It can't just be, hey, here you go, coach this guy, I traded for him. That's why Jerry Jones is never going to win anything. As he's looking to hire Brian Schottenheimer. I don't even have time for it. Keith McPherson on the fan. 888-808-1019. We got plenty to unpack. I'm waiting on the NBA All-Star voting and the starters to come out. Knicks fans obviously going to be paying attention to that. There is the NFL Honors Awards to talk about. Obviously, there's stuff to talk about with the draft. And, you know, just general NFL news. Mark Andrews speaks and obviously, we're waiting as well for Pete Alonso to know if he's going to join the Toronto Blue Jays frauds up there in Canada.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Score! The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Let's settle in. Keith McPherson on the fan. The kids say it hits different. I got you all night. 888-808-1019. Let's get right to the phones. We're talking about the Jets. We're talking about Aaron Glenn. We're talking about the Mets. Waiting on Pete Alonso news to break. Let's go. Let's see. Mike is in the Bronx. Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How's it going, man?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. No problem, man. So what do you think about this trade, man? Aaron Rodgers, well, first of all, for Aaron Glenn to succeed, I really think he needs a new quarterback. You can't go into the season 1 year, even if they have a winning season, and then next year Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there. But how about an Aaron Rodgers trade to either the Vikings or the 49ers, where Aaron Rodgers has a chance to win a Super Bowl, which he wants to do, and you come back and Aaron Glenn gets a quarterback that kind of resembles Jared Goff. You either get Sam Darnold or Brock Purdy.
Well, Sam Darnold is a free agent.
Or Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy is going to stay with the 49ers. John Lynch has spoke on it. They have to figure out the numbers, but like they're not gonna let go of a kid that went to the Super Bowl with them that they drafted with the last pick. He's gonna be the quarterback in San Francisco, but just for radio purpose, in theory, I disagree with the notion that Aaron Glenn is going to come in, and for him to succeed, he needs a new quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers, who's also, you know, with Davante Adams here, I think having those two veterans in the room, their experience, I think Aaron Rodgers another year removed from the Achilles injury. I think Davante Adams another year with Aaron Rodgers working. Like, I think the best move is for them to keep Aaron Rodgers, and I believe Aaron Glenn being part of the fraternity, the brotherhood, a 14-year veteran, I think he understands, like, hey, this is an all-time great, and they're probably having conversations soon. If not already, they're talking soon about it because Aaron Rodgers said he's going to huddle up with the Jets. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to retire or go elsewhere, I think he's going to want to be a part of, you know, this new era with the Jets. I don't think they're going to trade. Like, the quarterback is so important. There's not really better options than a Hall of Famer who actually turned it on at the end of the year.
And I know, but it's only for 1 year. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has a five.
Yeah,
he
got that 1 year buys you time. Years. That 1 year buys you time. It without that 1 year, you're going into this year with Tyrod Taylor under contract, Jordan Travis. Maybe you draft a rookie. That is not solid footing. That's not good ground to be standing on as a first time head coach who has a ton of skeptics because he is a first-time head coach. He is a defensive-minded head coach. He is in New York with the Jets. Like, they have a talented roster. They have to win.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I went through it last night, and we'll go through it again tonight, from the Russell Wilsons to the Jameis Winstons to the Marcus Mariotas. There's nobody. There's nobody out. Kirk Cousins. There's nobody out there, man. Aaron Rodgers bought a house out here. Aaron Rodgers, I would be trying to convince Aaron Rodgers to give us one more year.
Play 2 years.
One more year, and I think they can start figuring out some other things. And then, you know, I mean, two more years is a lot to ask. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Mike. This guy's going to be 42 next year. He's 41 right now. By the end of the season, he's 42. We're going to ask him. He's not Tom Brady. We're going to ask him to play till he's 43. No. But I think 1 year buys you time, and I think that Aaron Rodgers will buy into the thought of, oh, wow, we actually have a head coach and a coaching staff. Now, I don't know who's going to be the offensive coordinator. You've heard Clint Kubiak. You've heard Mark Brunell. You've heard what's the name of the guy? Callie from the Rams, passing game coordinator, tight ends coach, which people are pointing to, you know, Ben Johnson and how he came up. People do a lot of pointing, too much pointing to, oh, well, this happened there. It has nothing to do. They're not correlated. But anyway, maybe Nick Cali is an option. Aaron Rodgers will have to buy into, hey, this is it, bro. How do you want to be remembered? Tone it down a little bit. Maybe cancel Pat McAfee. Buy into your brothers in that locker room. He has brothers in that locker room. If you watch the end of the season and how emotional he was and the hugs and the embraces, he has people that he cares about in that locker room. And yes, he went out with the 500 touchdowns, which we'll talk about comeback player of the year at some point tonight. I feel like I'll play my audio from last year. Breece Hall last year snubbed. Aaron Rodgers this year snubbed. But I feel like Aaron Rodgers is a winner, a competitor with a chip on his shoulder. He would like to go out as the quarterback that ends the drought and brings the Jets back to the playoffs. And I think that's a reality this year. 888-808-1019, Schmully in Rockland on the Fan. What's up, Schmully?
Yeah, Keith, first time, long time. Thanks so much. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were referencing before Carlos Mendoza in comparison to Aaron Glenn. It's just, to me, it just sounds so different between a football coach and a baseball coach. I'm just wondering, like, what's the comparison even?
I mean, I can rehash it. Thanks for the call, Schmully. Starting new, right? And the skepticism that Carlos Mendoza faced as a first-time, and like, do I have to do what I just did again? I will. He had no experience. Aaron Glenn has no experience. He had been in this market. Aaron Glenn had been in this market. A Mets team that can't string together back-to-back postseason appearances. Now you believe that's possible with Carlos Mendoza guiding the ship. I even made parallels, not just Mendoza and Glenn, but parallels from Buck Showalter and Pete Carroll, old guys that have a ton of experience that you believe in and whatever. They didn't go that route. I made a parallel between Craig Counsell and Mike McCarthy. Oh, established guys, both that have established themselves in Wisconsin. You know, like what you said, Schmully, baseball coaches, baseball managers versus football coaches, what's different? They're both leaders of men. They're both making in-game decisions. They're both preparing a team. The baseball manager has to do it daily. The football coach has to do it daily too, but they only perform weekly. I don't think it's a hard concept. I just find everybody comparing him to Rob Saleh is further off. And what else did I say? Compare him to Dan Campbell, if anything. Dan Campbell going back to the Lions where he played. 888-808-1019. I think there are similarities there, specifically here in New York, on The Fan in New York, with the fans that listen and fans that are both Mets fans and Jets fans. A lot of you did not believe in your manager that took you to Game 6 of the NLCS. So those same fans aren't believing in Aaron Glenn. What if he's the guy that takes you to the playoffs? Jim is in Holbrook, New York. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how's it going, Keith? Thanks for taking the call. I'm a diehard Jets fan, miserable my whole life. I remember when Aaron Glenn played here. He was an undersized nickelback, and I can tell you, he had to work harder. If you know sports, you have to work harder when you're undersized. And I think he has to work harder, smarter. He's going to be the coach that, at least in my lifetime, I'm 49. You look back, and he's going to be one of the best Jet coaches because he's going to garnish the respect of his players because he played the game. Mm-hmm. And that goes a lot further than most people think. And yeah, because he was undersized, his whole life he had to work harder to get where he's at. And he has to continue to do that. And I think he's going to be awesome as a coach. I can't wait for this season.
Thanks for the call, Jim. Now, I'm not going to say what he's going to be as far as one of the greatest Jets coaches of all time. That bar is not really that high. I think the bar has been raised, though, from Jeff Ulbrich, Rob Saleh. And that's another thing people put in. Oh, Jeff Ulbrich played the game. Come on, man. Come on, man. They threw Jeff Ulbrich into the fire. He didn't even know what was coming. He wasn't ready for that. They fired Rob Saleh. Here you go, Jeff. In hindsight, right? Look at, they interviewed Jeff Ulbrich just, I guess, to be kind. And days later, he took the defensive coordinator job with the Atlanta Falcons. He's a DC. He's not ready in his trajectory. He's not ready in his progress. Aaron Glenn is. And what I'll say about his stature, being 5'8", 5'9", a small corner, yeah, he's got a chip on his shoulder. And he knows he can't just walk into a room and be the big man on campus. In that Pivot podcast that I went back to watch, he talks about how he went back to school. He learned how to use PowerPoint, Excel, Visio, all these different things so that it wasn't just him coaching on the field that he was sharp at. He wanted to be sharp in the classroom. I can appreciate a guy like that. He's leaving no stone unturned from being a scout and driving around and going seeing different colleges and shaking hands and meeting coaches. Man, I think the biggest thing with Aaron Glenn that we're going to talk about when he is successful is the coaching tree he's come from, right? Let's do that because Rob Saleh didn't come out of this coaching tree. Bill Parcells, he played for. Bill Parcells couldn't say anything nicer about the guy yesterday. Sean Payton went on his Twitter account to endorse him. He coached under Sean Payton. Bill Belichick, man, he told a story about Bill Belichick coaching him and putting a dollhouse in his locker. And the dollhouse was, you know, a metaphor for the stadium, for the game, for the field. And he had, little dolls in there. And he said something along the lines of, like, you're going to let this guy come into your house, get comfortable in your house, kick his feet up, do whatever he wants in your house? And he said that psychologically just took him to another level of, preparation.
Sorry to interrupt, but breaking news, we just found out that both Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns are all-star starters.
There it is. I thought it was going to be Pete Alonso. We don't have any glass shattering or any sound effects, but I was waiting on that, 7:30. I was supposed to have TNT on in here. Okay. That is progress. That's great. Congrats to the New York Knicks and their fans out there in San Francisco for the All-Star game. Jalen Brunson gets his just due. And Karl-Anthony Towns, I think you already knew, was going to be an All-Star. But, like, man, that's such a good look for the Knicks. That's got to be such a good feeling for the Knicks fans to watch an All-Star game and have your guys out there. Now, I know the All-Star game ain't what it used to be, and you could say whatever, but it's still a nod, it's accolades, and it's got to be a good feeling. Like, you guys have had, Julius Randle and Brunson, but, like, now the Knicks, the New York Knicks, have two starters in this year's NBA All-Star game. Congrats to Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, two Jersey guys.
unfortunately, Philadelphia Eagles fans, but two Jersey guys doing it big for the city. 888-808-1019. Back to what I was saying before we got that breaking news about the NBA All-Star starters. When Aaron Glenn is successful, there will not be any more talk about Rob Saleh, Todd Bowles, Rex Ryan, same old Jets. Instead, they will praise the coaches that came before him, the guys that he learned from, him being a part of this coaching tree. 888-808-1019. Drew out on Long Island. Drew, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing? About the Aaron Glenn hire, like, I don't know. I've been a Jets fan my whole life. I'm 22. I've never seen anything good. So, I mean, like, could it really get worse? Like, I see some people, like, really upset about it. Like,
could it honestly get worse? That's all you know how to do is be upset. Yeah, like, yep.
Like, right now, Rodgers, we literally don't know if our quarterback's going to play, and you are going to complain that we actually have a head coach now. I mean, like, he's Dan Campbell's, like, right-hand man, and you saw the Lions go from, I don't remember what they were, but Dan Campbell's first year, they were 9-8,
yeah.
And then they were had two great winning seasons, NFC Championship, got beat by great offense this year. I mean, like, it's not going to get worse, and, like, I don't know. We just need to figure out a GM, hopefully, get someone decent, and maybe Rodgers comes back. I mean, he probably will. I don't think he's going to see his name right below Brett Favre on the touchdown list and let that slide. But
I think he can be convinced.
I think if he comes back, yeah, I think if he comes back and we have actual coaches instead of Nathaniel Hackett, who just, I don't even think he knows what a football
looks
like.
That's what I'm saying.
And
you just went from watching Nathaniel, like, Hackett and Jeff Ulbrich. These guys didn't know how to call timeouts. They didn't know what plays to run. They didn't know how to win a game down in Miami. Like, these guys, they were bereft of coaching. You just watch talented players go out there with just a whatever game plan. It's about to change. The talented players that you have on the roster are going to be joined by talented players that they draft and bring in free agency. Guys are going to get traded. The moves are going to be made. It's time to celebrate. It's time to dream. It's not a time to be woe is me. The better days are ahead.
Stuff go by like Saleh probably did, and like letting Aaron Rodgers do whatever the hell he wanted to do. And
he's no dummy.
No.
He's been around no nonsense coaches. He's no dummy. He knows what's going on with the Jets. We all know. Everybody in the NFL knows. There's not going to be any more dressing up like the Grinch or a pink bunny rabbit. There's not going to be any making T-shirts. There's not going to be any of that nonsense. Like, that's over with.
No missing camp.
Right. There's not going to be an Aaron Rodgers. If you're coming through, no Egypt trips. You got to set a precedent. The example. We need one good year out of you, Aaron. And maybe we draft a young kid to develop. Maybe next year somebody comes open that we want to, you know, sign. Like, I think the best route is through Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. It isn't just Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is talking about going back to Green Bay, possibly going. I think he's more inclined to be here and them working out a deal. And that's another thing too, with the cap, the dead cap, and the deal. Do you want to be paying Aaron Rodgers if he does go elsewhere? No, I think he can be convinced that, hey, man, you're another year removed from the Achilles. He'll get in the gym. He'll work out. He'll have Davante Adams here. It'll be a better year. I think that's the way to go. And I think Aaron Glenn, being a former player, being part of the fraternity, understands, hey, Aaron, like, I've retired. I've done this. Like, you're not retired yet. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to go out? Thanks for the call, Drew. 888-808-1019. I thought you were about to break that Pete Alonso news as I'm hitting refresh. You know, I speak about Pete a little bit. There's some confusion around this thing with Pete, too. If Pete Alonso is a Blue Jay and he comes to Yankee Stadium, I'm get up standing ovation. Juan Soto, not so much. But, like, man, Pete Alonso has been an icon here in New York. Pete Alonso has been a lot of these young Mets fans' favorite player here in New York. Pete Alonso was doing it on the cheap here in New York. And it's unfortunate that he chose to hire Scott Boras. He chose to bet on himself. He rolled the dice. He crapped out. You know, all that Aaron Judge type of stuff, it's not easy for everybody. Gleyber Torres will tell you, it's not easy to bet on yourself and win. It's nerve-wracking, especially when you have the emergence of a Francisco Lindor on your team. You have the emergence of a Jose Iglesias. Oh, my! Grimace. The rally pimp, the playoff pump. And there was a lot going on where it wasn't about the polar bear. But when the team needed him the most, when the franchise needed him the most, when the fans were down to their last out, the last inning, he showed up. And I know that doesn't get you anything in the market. But if it does get you anything for one team, what team does that actually? The Mets. If there's one team that that's supposed to mean something for, a team that's supposed to bend a little bit, work with you a little more, not give you everything because the market is saying that you're not valued. The first baseman, that market dried up fast. Yankees get Goldschmidt. Christian Walker goes to the Astros. Carlos Santana goes back to Cleveland. You guys know we've gone through this. Josh Naylor goes out to Arizona. Josh Bell goes to the Nationals. Nobody was going to pay Pete what Pete wanted. He bet on himself and he lost. But now the Mets are about to lose him in a year where they sign Juan Soto. So you invest $800 million in Juan Soto. I would be willing to invest a little bit more in Pete Alonso to protect him. What's the point of having the richest owner in the sport? Oh, Keith, it's David Stearns. And you know what? They have a vision and they don't value him. And David Stearns. Yo, it's about this year, though. It's about winning this year. In one weekend, the Dodgers signed Roky Sasaki, Tanner Scott, and Kirby Yates. Their rotation and bullpen, who is going to hit? Mark Vientos? You're just going to assume that young Mark Vientos, having a great year last year, not a full year, but bursting on the scene, showing that he could hit at the major league level and be clutch. What if you neutralize him by making him play first base now, having a position change? What if that gets in his head? Because you know, like, first base, you got to catch the ball from second base, shortstop, third base. You got to make those outs. What if he's costing the team outs because he can't scoop the ball like Pete? Or he can't catch the ball in foul territory? Like, these little things come into play. You're going to bank on Brett Beatty? Jim in Bridgewater, New Jersey, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey. I really hope Pete comes back. And, you know, Steve Cohen always talks about family when he signed Soto. And he's got to live up to that. But, you know, just in case it doesn't happen, Justin Turner, I know he's 40, but he's a central replacement at first base, so he can play third, too, or DH. And also, Rizzo is still a free agent. So, you know, and they could probably get these guys for 1 year contract, if, you know. But I hope, or Guerrero, if that happens before the deadline, which is the beginning of the spring. Training.
Thanks for the call, Jim. You do not want Anthony Rizzo. I don't think Soto wants to be teammates with Rizzo again. Thank you to Anthony Rizzo for, I don't know, a good year or so. Anthony Rizzo is shot. You guys watch the World Series. Mets fans, you watch the World Series because I couldn't hear enough about that first inning. I don't know how many jokes were posted, written. I got added in memes and all. Like, you didn't see Anthony Rizzo not run to the bag? You didn't see Anthony Rizzo come up small at the plate? Anthony Rizzo's done. You talk about Pete Alonso being old at 30? Anthony Rizzo's 35 going on 36. That's not an option. Justin Turner, I guess I like the idea because he's a former Met, and you can bring him back home, have a little bit of a homecoming. But who knows if Justin Turner wants to come here? He may not. He may not want to be in this clubhouse. Who else did he just suggest? Rizzo, Turner... there's someone at, Vladdy. Stop. If the Blue Jays are going out to sign Anthony Santander and the details of that contract came out, there's deferred money there. They might give Pete a little bit and defer it. Anthony Santander's 5-year, $92.5 million deal includes $61.75 million deferred. It's not just the Dodgers. Present day overall value by Union's calculation is $68.6 million. With a 13.7 AAV, I'll tell you this, Santander, I was wrong about Soto raising the market. I was sure that Santander, after the year that he had hitting 40 bombs, I'm like, oh, he's going to wait because he's going to point to Soto's contract. No, Juan Soto is one of one. It might be the last of the one of ones to get a deal like that. 888-808-1019. Pete Alonso is your guy. It's not over until it's over. I think Pete should get that offer from the Blue Jays and bring it back to, well, it wouldn't even be Pete. I think Scott Boras should get that offer from the Blue Jays and bring it back to David Stearns. I don't want to hear that they don't have a good relationship. They have a fantastic relationship. Stearns and Cohen just made him and Juan Soto the highest paid of all time. That might stay. That might stay forever. Like, I don't know when we're going to get a higher contract than that. I remember being on The Fan thinking, hey, they don't have to blow Ohtani's contract out of the water. They just got to beat it a little bit. They blew the contract out of the water. Ohtani is two players in one. Juan Soto is a generational bat. You're going to love watching his at-bats. He's going to compete. He's going to entertain. He's going to win some games, hitting home runs. He's also going to frustrate you a little bit when he just works a walk when you kind of need a hit. He's going to frustrate you a little bit when the ball goes somewhere in right field and Citi Field and he can't see it or can't judge it or can't get to it, right? But at the end of the day, he's Juan Soto, and you won that. But, like, I had this bar last week. You won the winter meetings. You did not win the offseason. Because getting Juan Soto and not having somebody to protect him and then moving guys around, I just don't think is the right move. And getting to the NLCS and losing to the Dodgers, your goal should be to get back to the NLCS and potentially face them again and beat them, no? Wouldn't you want more parts of that team that did that last year to come back? So I understand the pivot to go get Jesse Winker, but what are we talking about? Jesse Winker, I'm sure of this. Pete Alonso had a down year. He will not have back-to-back down years. He is more motivated than ever. He's working out with Sean Manaea. Sean Manaea wants his guy back. Even Jeff McNeil says he wants his buddy back, hopes he gets a deal done. You think this isn't sending shockwaves through the current Mets? You think these Mets are going to be the same as last year? These Mets that now have a target on their back? These Mets who have to compete in their division against the Braves, who just signed Jurickson Profar, they're the Braves. They're going to be good. If healthy, they're going to be good. And they're going to want some get back from the way that last season ended. Oh, the Phillies, they're going to want some get back after getting knocked out of the DS in a year where they spent months telling everyone they're the best team in baseball. They spent months putting out content saying that was their year. Here comes Red October. It was here and there. I'm just saying, if it was me making the decisions, Steve Cohen, if I am you, and like that's why I said, what's the point of having the richest owner? You've lit enough money on fire. It's not going to change your bottom line. It's not going to do anything. If anything, it's just going to make your fans have a more amazing day on Saturday. Sign the guy. Don't let this guy go to Canada. You need him in your lineup.